talk about, you're saying about the fear aspect of it, and was there a fear? I mean, there's a sense of release, letting go, throwing out everything, but heading to New York.
It's incredible fear.
You know, yeah.
Incredible fear.
Yeah, what was that like?
New York, as everyone knows,
yeah.
can vary. I mean, New York welcomes you by just kicking you right in the teeth.
Right.
Welcome to New York. Yeah, right. Bam! Oh! Teeth! Oh! I'm bleeding! Yeah. What happened? So, you know, New York did that to me.
Yeah.
Like it does that to everyone. Sure. It's a very, very difficult, competitive, expensive place.
Yeah.
And I did my very best there. And I didn't do particularly well in New York. I mean, I studied, and I was like I was one of the hot students.
Right. Yeah.
He's good, but when you're a 19-year-old, you're my size physically. You're just a big, really big kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's really nothing to work. There's no role for you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a thing to give you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in a play. I mean, maybe if they did Oklahoma again.
Right.
Or something with big cowboys or something. But at that time, Al Pacino was doing Richard III on Broadway. It was all Harvey Keitel, like the small, dark, ethnic New York kind of actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were working. And I would go into casting offices. What do we do with you? It was great. So a couple of kind casting people who said, look, here's the thing. You know, you're a big guy. You're very talented. But, I don't think it's going to happen here. I think you should move to California and do, you know, you can still do plays, but do television, do movies, do whatever like that. Because it's just plays aren't coming up that need you.
Right. That fit, yeah.
That fit.
Would fit in, yeah.
So I did. So I moved out to California.
Did you get involved kind of in the plays here to just start out, or did you make a crossover to film?
I had crossed over into stand-up comedy when I lived back east.
Okay.
Because I wasn't getting cast in plays.
Okay, yeah.
It was absolutely mercenary. I mean, I'd seen guys on The Tonight Show. I knew what stand-up comedians do.
Sure.
And I was a Steve Martin fan.
I saw him.
And when I was in college, we went to see Steve Martin. And I was a big Steve Martin fan. So I knew what it was.
Mm.
But I was kind of, to me, I was God's gift to acting. And I was waiting for that great role that would, you know, I wasn't going to do stand-up comedy and make balloon animals for people at a Mexican restaurant or something.
Right, right.
But I wasn't getting cast in anything, and friends of mine did stand up. And they said, well, you just put on a show. I mean, it's like, you know, you get 10 minutes just to do whatever you want.
Right.
So I got up on stage and started doing kind of very improvisational, crazy shows. But at the end of those shows, you wouldn't make a lot of money, but you'd make like $10 and a cheeseburger from the kitchen.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And at that time, that was like in a play, you kind of have to keep working during the day to be in the play. And it was like stand-up comedy? They give you cheeseburgers?
Yeah, perfect.
And you make $10? Sure.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had started doing stand-up.
Okay.
So when I came out to California, I was doing stand-up. And I got accepted immediately as a regular at the Comedy Store and started working stand-up in L.A., 7 nights a week.
Wow. Yeah. Quick pickup. That's great. And let's make the transition here then, because now we talk about California and kind of cross over to comedy and film. Just talk to you a little bit more about living out your faith in the business you're in. How has your Catholicism kind of been important to you in your career? Maybe specifically, you know, does it influence how you approach a role? Do you integrate it, you know, characters into the characters you play?
The first thing it influences me is in whether I take a role or not. Because I think when I was in acting school, I was at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City, the hoity-toity acting school, you know, and Even then, I thought, this is going to be an interesting experiment, but an experiment that probably fails. Because I'm not going to do a lot of the work that I see a lot of other people doing.
Yeah, right, right.
That work is going to be unavailable to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now, that makes for a difficult path for a Christian actor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in my opinion. Look, some Christian actors that I have met, they do anything and everything. And they say, yeah, but I can talk about Jesus with the people on the set.
Right.
To me, that is not for me.
Gotcha.
I think it's an artistic cop-out, and I think the work is not reflecting who they are as a person. Wow.
Yeah.
We're getting our clock cleaned down here.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, man.
The age-old question, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
help a brother out.
Yeah, right. No, that's good to hear that, yeah, that it can be easy to just say, oh, because you're in Hollywood or something like that.
Right.
Such a singular experience is so unique that it's completely different from the experience of other Christians.
It's not a unique experience at all.
Yeah.
It's an actually completely common experience because you're waking up and you're doing, hopefully, what God would have you do that day.
Right.
Loving the people that God would have you love.
Yeah.
Deciding not to do the wrong things that you know would dishonor the people that you're involved with and would dishonor you and would dishonor God.
Yeah, right.
You know? And many, many kids in junior high right now are making more courageous decisions than I have to make in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when you're, you know, when I, certainly when I am filled with that angst and fear and whatever, and you think of all of those people before us, I mean, I'm humiliated.
Yeah, right.
I'm humiliated by that fear.
Yeah.
But again, you abandon yourself to not being abandoned to divine providence. You're a human being.
Yeah.
We all want to pay for our health insurance, and we all want to take care of our family members or to help people, and, you know.
You do what you can.
We do what we can.
Yep.
Is anything I'm saying making any sense?
No.
Do you think?
Maybe. Yeah, no, definitely.
I don't know. I just, my spiritual, when I'm talking on spiritual things, there's a voice in my brain just saying, oh, shut up.
Come on, Tom.
Would you blobbity blah? Oh, my gosh.
No, that's great. Well, I guess to wrap things up, what would you say then, just kind of fun facts, what's your favorite part about being Catholic?
Definitely donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Donuts and coffee cake.
Absolutely.
I will not show up to anything if there's not, quote unquote, refreshments afterwards in the parish hall.
That's right. The
greatest thing about being a Catholic to me is the Catholic worldview that everything matters. There is a holiness and a sacramental quality to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just, and not to minimize at all the Protestant experience of Jesus, which is completely valid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's far beyond the saying of words and the being saved and concentrating on the state of my salvation.
Yeah.
It is absolutely that the universe is infused with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And a person's life, hopefully, can be in tiny baby steps trying to feel more of that.
Right.
And we do it through art and music. We certainly do it through prayer. We certainly do it through sacraments. We certainly do it through Eucharist. I mean, my gosh, it's the center.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a central thing. It's the center.
Yeah. Right.
And everything emanates from there. So that's I think the great part of it, which I think in our arts, specifically Catholic artist, or that the idea of a Catholic worldview has been almost expunged from the arts, I think. And people are coming back to that.
Yeah.
Even the Catholic, quote unquote, Catholic novelists of the 40s and 50s, or Flannery O'Connor, or Walker Percy, or whatever. A book like Mr. Blue by Miles Connolly. All these kinds of books, or paintings, or music.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory Wolfe, a great writer, is writing about that, Catholic art and everything. I mean, both capital C and small c.
Sure, sure.
But yes, I am a Catholic artist in, I think, every sense of the word.
Right. Like you said, from that deep place, trying to reflect that most deep inner part of yourself in the art, in the comedy, in the acting,
right,
in that genuine sort of way,
right,
authentic way.
Because in my opinion, of course, it's a you know, it's a completely subjective opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Most rock music, including punk, is very Catholic at its core.
Hmm. Yeah.
Most rock and roll songs are about a longing that seemingly cannot be fulfilled by anything.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
These punk rock songs are an angst-filled scream that there isn't anything in this world that understands my existence,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is, to me, you know, to me, it's of a piece with the entire Catholic cultural experience for 2,000 years, only saying, you know, there's an answer to that.
Right, right.
And there's only one answer to that.
Yeah. And it's a loving person.
It's a person, right.
Yep.
It's a person. It's not even a thought process.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
It's a person.
Yeah.
It's not a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing with us at Jesuit Post and for all our listeners. I really do appreciate
it. I love the Jesuit Post.
Yep. That's great. That's great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.